I chose to write about a choir director who's Lutheran and who's a big city girl but has moved to a small town.
Katie Schuerman talking about her new novel, The Choir Immortal.
I really wanted to address suffering in the present tense, this theology of the cross.
You can find out more about The Choir Immortal at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Choir Immortal by Katie Schuerman.
I think that for Catholics, the election of Kennedy was an important moment in history where they were recognized and accepted by American society as true Americans.
Fundamentalism and liberalism do agree on this point, that your basic identity is what you do.
Why is it that my grandparents in the 1940s, why didn't they demand that their churches offer Glenn Miller big band style church?
On-demand listeners of Issues Etc. love hearing sound theology while walking the dog.
You'll find them all over the place. Hospitals named after her. She was a princess. She, in time, renounces both her throne and her dowry, and she devotes herself to the care of those who could not care for themselves. Maybe that explains why so many hospitals are named after Elizabeth or Saint Elizabeth. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Larry Rasch joins us. On this day, the church is remembering this 13th century princess and philanthropist Elizabeth of Hungary. We'll do so for the first 10 minutes of the program. A little bit later, George Conger will join us from GetReligion.org. We'll talk about the New York Times editorial that even crossed a line when it comes to religious liberty and the Affordable Health Care Act. A little bit later, we're going to spend some time talking with Pastor David Peterson about Spirit-filled preaching. I'm not talking about the preacher who purports to be spirit-filled, but is there a promise attached in the authority of Christ to Christian preaching equal to that of the promise attached to things like the Lord's Supper and baptism? We'll answer that question a little bit later on, Issues Etc. Pastor Heath Curtis will round off today's program, part three of our series with him on the Christ-Centered Life. Today we're going to talk about prayer. You can join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC. Dr. Larry Rast is a regular guest. He's president and professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Larry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Great to be with you.
Not too far from here, there's a hospital called St. Elizabeth's, and I know a lot of hospitals are named St. Elizabeth. Is this the same Elizabeth that we're remembering today?
There's a pretty good chance of that. In fact, many of the St. Elizabeth hospitals that are around, at least the ones I'm familiar with here in the United States, are named after Elizabeth of Hungary, or as others would call her, Elizabeth of Thuringia.
Who is this woman, and why do we name things after her?
Interesting person, about whom I knew very little until, I think it was 2007, went with a group of people to the Wartburg outside of Eisenach in Thuringia in Germany, and anticipated spending most of our time at the Wartburg Castle looking at Luther relics and places where he sat and hearing the story about Junker Jorg and the translation of the New Testament into German. And instead, it was a celebration that particular year of Elizabeth, St. Elizabeth, and her work as you said, as a philanthropist, and particularly the efforts that she was involved in helping the poor and the sick in central Germany in the years of the first part of the 1200s when she lived. Fascinating person who had been, the date of her birth is 1207, and at the age of four, she was basically had her marriage arranged to a German prince, even though she was from Hungary. And the whole idea of the arrangement, of course, was to solidify political alliances at that point in time between Thuringia and Hungary. And as a young, very young one, girl still, then of course was sent up to Germany, grew up in the context of the family in which she would later be formally brought into by virtue of marriage, and at the age of 14 then was formally speaking married to Prince Ludwig, and enjoyed marriage with him. Apparently all the reports of their marriage were that it was a, for the time particularly, a very strong one, but found herself widowed at a very young age, 20 or 21. And from that point forward, even though she had three children by that point in time, she also committed herself to the care of the sick and the poor, and as such became already during her life thought of as a saintly woman, and then after her death was actually canonized and moved into the ranks of Roman Catholic saints.
So this is a good example of someone who, well, both in a historical sense, is part of this long influence of Christianity, as Dr. Alvin Schmidt would call it, where would we have something like hospitals were it not for this kind of philanthropy or this kind of thinking on the part of individual Christians who had the means, but also a person who was willing to part with what was rightfully hers by marriage, considerable wealth for mm-hmm. for the sake of the poor. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, she it's in the tradition in the 13th century of an increasingly complex society, the growth time in terms of the population in Germany, and as a result, not surprisingly, that brought some social problems along with it. One of which was poverty, and along with poverty, typically you get sickness as well. What distinguished her in many ways was the point you just made there, that she was willing to use not only her influence as a royal, but also her affluence, and to dedicate significant sums of money for the sake of those who just didn't have the ability to care for themselves, didn't have the resources to provide for themselves. And this is, in many ways, is a unique thing, because as these institutions are developing in the latter part of the Middle Ages, later on Luther will pick up on this theme and really say that a person like Elizabeth, well, not her specifically, but people like Elizabeth who took advantage of the opportunities that they had, really were carrying out their vocation in a unique way for the sake of others. In other words, being a saint in the best sense of the word, not in the sense of one who intercedes on behalf of another person for their spiritual welfare specifically, but rather one who uses the gifts God has provided them in behalf of their neighbor who is in need. And in that respect, acts as Christ to that person, a little Christ, as Luther often put it.
I think that people who work for the church, so to speak, might have a unique perspective on this. I mean, both you and I survive on the kindness of strangers, on essentially patronage. Everybody who is employed in full-time church work essentially does. Talk about how, although the church includes all sorts of people, there is a long tradition of this kind of patronage of people with means who support the ongoing work of the church, be it in acts of mercy, social welfare, or in the direct preaching of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. That's we see it obviously in the scriptures themselves, and it's very clear with a person like St. Paul, for example, who at certain points says, well, I've learned to be content with much and with little, but he also is very explicit about saying the worker is worthy of his wages. Where do those come from? They come from people who have the means to support the work of the gospel, and that is the case throughout the history of Christianity. One of the interesting things about Christianity is that it has hasn't insisted that people of means give up all of their means. Sure, there are instances where Jesus challenges, for example, the rich young man who is convinced of his own worthiness, where Jesus says, well, let's see how far you're actually willing to go, give up everything and follow me, and then we'll talk. And the man, of course, fails that challenge. But in other cases where we see very clearly that, Jesus recognizing the poor you will always have with you, and who will take care of these folks other than the people who do have the means to help? And so throughout church history, that'll be a theme that we see constantly replayed, where the goods of the church will be distributed on behalf of folks who have less. And, of course, here you probably can guess that one of my heroes in this respect is my namesake, St. Lawrence himself, who was martyred as he refused to give up the treasures of the church, which were being cultivated for the sake of those who were in need. And when challenged by the Roman secular authorities, he said give over the treasures of the church. He pointed to the poor and said, "These are the treasures of the church," and as a result, paid with his life. But there are other instances we could multiply very, very easily where people moved by the gospel, give of themselves in significant, remarkable ways for the sake of others, both in terms of acts of mercy, acts of charity, and service on behalf of the neighbor in a myriad of ways.
So finally then, Larry, with about a minute, why should the church continue to set aside a day to remember even the more obscure, although in her time not obscure, even someone like St. Elizabeth?
I think the Lutheran confessions speak very well and clearly to us on this point, that the remembering the manner in which God has worked through people in remarkable ways, holding that example before us, and in some ways challenging us, or at least reminding ourselves, of how those people have worked with the gifts God has given them, then gives us an example, a very powerful example, for how we ourselves can serve using the various and sundry gifts that God has given to us, whether that be by means of the financial resources we have or whatever other gifts we have that God has blessed us with.
Dr. Larry Rast is president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Larry, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, Todd, thanks. Appreciate it very much. God bless.
When we come back, George Conger of GetReligion.org joins us. We're going to talk about media coverage of religious liberty and the Affordable Care Act. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. TheCLCC.org.